We want to offer insights into Chag HaPesach, some of the central themes and the halachas of Pesach in honor of the Chag, and we base ourselves, as we did last week, on the Haggadah of the Sri Deish, Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, Zichrono Livracha. In the Haggadah we say that if not for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took our forefathers out of Mitzrayim, Hari Anu, Uponenu, Bnei Banenu, Mishubadim, Hayinu, Lefarov Mitzrayim. Are we talking about the physical Shibud? We don't know that historically it had to be that if not for Yetzias Mitzrayim, we would still be Mishubadim to Pharaoh today. But rather the Shibud here is a Shibud Ruchani, it's a spiritual Shibud, an existential Shibud. The Chirus that we're talking about is the Chirus that allows man to control, to have a Shlita on himself. Not just the question of others having a Shlita on others, Paro subjugating us, but rather to become a Ben Chorin means that we can do all the avodos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a free way. Chazal tell us that the word Zohar, when it appears in the Torah, has a special meaning. Zohar is Asher HaSolcha HaMolek, Zohar es Yom HaShabbos LeKadsho. The word Zohar appears in both contexts, HaMolek and Shabbos. There seems to be some sort of internal connection between the two. And let's understand that the sanctity of Shabbos is going to allow us, fortify us, with the ability to destroy that spirit of Amalek. And that's why Jews throughout history represent those who battle on behalf of freedom, on behalf of humanity, Lochamei HaChofesh VeNoshiyut, because we carry, or wave, shall we say, the flag of the concept, the theme of Shabbos. Shabbos means everyone has a certain experience of sanctity, of freedom. We, in a sense, took an oath, the oath of Shabbos. And that oath means we pledge to battle against the spirit of Amalek that tries to subjugate man in all its different forms, in all its different revelations. Amalek is the evil. Amalek is the enemy of true freedom of Chirus. And therefore we have to destroy Amalek. We have to uproot it in order that the vision of freedom realize itself in this world. The Pasuk says, Sur Meirava Sei Tov. The Chirus concept that we received from above, from Marom, Chirus is not just the freedom, the absence of control over us. It's much more profound. Lo zinucham shall call havchana v'shlita b'rtzono ha'atzmi elapituach ha'itzilut sheba'odom. The concept of Chirus doesn't just mean to free us from the bonds, the shlita, and allow us to control and decide our own destiny. It's more than that. It means developing within man his atzilut, his greatness, his splendor. To recognize the honor of man, the dignity of man, and its value. The life of an individual, a personality, and that personality represents the human element, the Tzelem Elokim element. Chirus means to recognize, to acknowledge man's aspirations, to live both a full life as individuals and as part of society, as part of the collective entity. It means that man should be free to gather together all his energies, all his inner kochos, his forces, for the sake of working towards a goal of the tzibur. And this recognition of the splendor of man and his uniqueness, and guaranteeing the ability of man to achieve and implement and express that uniqueness. That's the freedom of Chirus. That's what Amalek represents, the enemy of that concept. In order to fully realize that concept of Chofesh, of Chirus in Judaism, it means Eino goremes li osa astira koevesh ben ritzono atzmi shala yochid lebein drisha satzibur. It doesn't mean to destroy or undermine that contradiction between the will of the individual and the will of the community. As many philosophers saw it, what takes precedence? The individual freedom of man and his desires to complete himself, or the freedom and the greatness of the collective entity? No. Judaism doesn't sense that contradiction between the will of the individual and the will of the tzibur. The will of the tzibur represents a concept called chok. Chok means that there is a ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that expresses itself in the world. We pray, Asei Ritzoncha Kirtzono, that our individual will should be the same, should be identical with the will of Hashem, the chok of Hashem. And therefore, we will sacrifice ourselves with a sense of simcha, of happiness, in order to achieve this perfect alignment, if you will, between the ratzon of the yachid, the freedom of the individual, and the chok of the Torah. We want to listen to every single command of the Torah, and we accept those diburim, the aseres hadibros, and the commands of the Torah, with ra'ada, with an awesome sense of commitment. And we understand and we appreciate that we accept upon ourselves with a profound commitment that reflects our inner self, the shilton, the control and the dominion of Koach Elyon, a power from above. This is true Chirus, the most elevated level of freedom, which we accepted when we left Mitzrayim. And it is something that we preserve throughout our history, not for ourselves, but for the sake of mankind. L'man yedu kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha. Our ultimate goal is that the entire world accept that koach elyon, to accept the shem Hashem kol amei ha'aretz. That's what the Jewish nation represents. That's the Shabbos. That's the battle against Amalek. That's the zechira of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of accepting the higher will and the sovereign rulership of Almighty God, the chuk, the chok, the chukei Torah, the tzivui muchlat, which is an absolute command. That's something that reflects our inner selves. There's a simcha here. There's no contradiction. There's no conflict. It's asei ritzoncha, ritzonenu. Our will is the will of Hashem. The Gemara tells us about a very, very interesting episode, quite an emotional, profound episode that took place at the time of the Tanoim when Rabbi Eliezer took ill, and the Tanoim, the holy rabbis, the giants of our nation, gathered together to visit Rabbi Eliezer, who was sick in bed. Four Zkenim entered in to see him: Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. These were the giants of that generation. And what did they say? What did they declare to Rabbi Eliezer the Chole? Rabbi Tarfon said, Tov atol Yisrael mitipa shel gshamim. You are greater to Israel than the rains. Tipa shel gshamim ba'olam hazeh v'rebi ba'olam haba. You are great because not only do you contribute to this material world, this finite existence on this world, but also as well to Olam Haba. Nena Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Yoshua responded, and he declared, Tova tol Yisrael yosemi galgal achama, you are greater to Israel than the sun. She galgal achama b'olam azev, v'rebi b'olam azev b'olam abba. Nena Rabbi Loz ben Azari from her, Tova tol Yisrael yosemi ava em, she'ava em b'olam azev, v'rebi b'olam azev b'olam abba. Until finally it was the turn of Rabbi Akiva. Nena Rabbi Akiva v'yomar chavivin Yisurim, suffering is something to be cherished. What did each one of these Tanoim mean to say? What message do we take from their worlds, from their words and their declarations? Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol said, who was this Rabbi Eliezer, the one who took ill? He was in a sense a tragic figure. He was the greatest in his generation. Those who studied Torah at his feet, they understood and appreciated that he was the genius, L'Tiferes. But nevertheless, he, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, was nidon, he was judged, if you will, libdidus, for loneliness, for isolation. And this was in the aftermath of a controversy that took place between him, Rabbi Eliezer, and the other Tanoim, the Chachamim. And the Gemara records in Bava Metzion and Tes, the very famous sugya of Tanu Shel Achnoi, Rabbi Eliezer refused to back away, to rescind his position in that controversy. And as a result, he was doomed, he was destined to loneliness, to isolation. When he took ill, this great individual, his Talmidim, his colleagues, were aroused with a sense of love, of admiration. His din, his status was not that of a nidach, of someone who is completely rejected from the community. Heaven forbid. He was guilty only of being great. His greatness was the source, if you will, of his ashma, of his guilt. The opening line here is that of Rabbi Tarfon, appreciating Rabbi Eliezer and comparing him to the drop of rain. The drop of rain is great for the farmers and for society as a collective entity, but on the other hand, the flip side is, rain is a nuisance to some people. People are out there hoping for a tiyul, hoping to take a hike, to climb the mountains, and now it's raining, it's very difficult. But everybody agrees that ultimately we judge the rain as a bracha, as a blessing for the earth and for those who dwell upon it. Therefore, the colleagues of Rabbi Eliezer, although they, in a sense, distant themselves from Rabbi Eliezer, they still have to admit and recognize that the ruach of Rabbi Eliezer had a tremendous impact upon them, and they were able to achieve their creative achievements by virtue of Rabbi Eliezer's great ruach, the ruach that he was mashpia. And then we have the second declaration, that of Rabbi Yoshua, comparing Rabbi Eliezer to the sun. The sun, of course, is the source of energy, the source of vegetation. Without the sun, man is totally lost. But yet there is an element of torach, of masa, sort of like the counter, the negative element, because if it's so hot in the world, in the earth, people suffer from that. But yet everyone, at the end of the day, acknowledges and appreciates that without the sun we would have no growth, no vegetation, there would be no life on this planet. without the sun. And then finally, the third mashal, that of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, is a parent. Of course, the parent, the father, the mother is there to guide the child, to raise the child, teach him the right way, teach him faith, knowledge, to use his capabilities, his intellect, but at the same time, very often, the parents, in disciplining that child, they have to be marchik the tinok, they have to push him away, bizroah, sometimes even using the hand, b'shevet, in order to guarantee that the child should not fall into evil, and she should not be harmful to himself or to others. Often the child, because he's limited in his understanding and his appreciation, he doesn't necessarily understand why his parents are being so harsh with him. But ultimately, when the child matures and he grows old, he appreciates the justice and the hadracha, the guidance from his morim, from those who disciplined him, his parents, and he recognizes and owes them a debt of gratitude. But the greatest of the Tanoim who came in to visit Rabbi Eliezer was Rabbi Akiva. He was what we call the Arisha Bechabura, literally the lion of the group. And he speaks about Chavivin Yisurin. We've already mentioned in the past that there are two categories of Yisurin. It all depends who's suffering. A person who's Mura Me'am, he's on the highest level. He's elevated above the people, the average person. To him, Chavivin Yisurin. He is someone who lives within the world of sanctity. He understands that even suffering is sanctified. Kavana Kedosha Mistateris Behem, that even though it's concealed, but deep down, below the surface, the Yisurim are sanctified. Lo Kedusha Shlilit Ve'en Shevi Al Tasa Bilvad, not just some sort of negative or, you know, omission, but Chaviv in Yisurim, in a positive way, there is a sanctity, a purpose, an ennobling, uplifting element to Yisurim, and a person grows through Yisurim. Chaviv in Yisrael, shenikroim bonim lamakom, the Mishnah tells us in Avos. Chibi Yisera nodas lem shenikroim bonim lamakom, shenemer bonim atem lashem alokechem. What is common to the entire group of Tanoim, all four, who came in to visit Rabbi Eliezer? They have a vision of a horizon that's very broad, very far-reaching. They see the light beyond the mountains that create darkness by blocking the light. These are Tanoim, the same Tanoim that sat that long night of Golus. Maisev Rabbi Eliezer, this is a major part of the Haggadah, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, the same exact five Tanoim. Shoyim Mesubim, B'Bnei Brak, Vayim Mesapim, B'Tzias Mitzrayim, Kol Oso HaLaila. That Laila symbolizes the long night of exile, and that long night of exile began. Its departure, its takeoff was on that night. And yet, despite the terrible exile of Rome and all the others that follow suit, that long night of Golus, nevertheless, they had a vision of the end of time, the end of this long, difficult journey. They already had a tzipia for the Gulas Mitzrayim Shetischadesh Vayerev Vayvoker. There will be a boker. It's very difficult to experience any sort of experience of that sort. It demands absolute greatness. At moments of exile, of darkness and despair, to somehow convey and teach the hope and the optimism for a brighter future, for an ultimate redemption, when you're in the thick and in the depths of depression, of golus. And this is something that the greats, the teachers of the generation, the giants, had to teach and convey to their students, to their disciples. And the amazing thing is that they were successful. The Talmidim internalized the idea into their hearts, into their nefesh. They got the message. Rabbi Hoseinu, they declared, Higiyaz man kriyat special chakras. Yes, it is time for chakras. Even in the darkness of golus, there is a chakras. There is a dawn. There is a light. The story tells us that these five Tanoim were sitting in Bnei Brak while he was sapring the Yitzias Mitzrayim called Oso Halayla, during the entire course of the night until daybreak. This itself presents a problem, because on a halakhic level, we know that it is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that the Pesach, the Korban Pesach, could be eaten only until, but not beyond, Chatzos Laila. And this opinion of Rabbi Eliezer regarding the Korban Pesach would seem to reflect another opinion quoted in the Mechilta at the end of Parshas Bo. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Minayin at Omer, Shemhoysa Chabura Shal Chachomim, O Shal Talmidim, Shetrichim Lasok Bilchas HaPesach Ad Chatzos, the Tosefim Sochim, the 10th Perek, Chayvonim Lasok Bilchas HaPesach Kol HaLaila. What is going on? There is some sort of contradiction here. On the one hand, Rabbi Eliezer is quoted in the Mechilta saying that the latest time for Isuk Bilchas HaPesach is Chatzos Laila, which seemed to reflect a consistency with his opinion that the Korban Pesach is eaten until Chatzos Laila, but not beyond. On the other hand, we have the story of these five Tanoim, and Rabbi Eliezer is amongst them, that were Mesaprim B'tzias Mitzrayim Kol Oso Laila, which reflect the Tosefta in Pesachim, Chayav Adam Lasik B'chaz Pesach Kol HaLaila. The Sri Deish points out that there are different Girsos over here, and then he quotes the attempt of the presentation of the Chasdei David, Rabbi David Pardo, to reconcile these contradictions between the Tosefta and the Mechilta. And he suggests that the Yashiv is Astira, Machlokesi bebrochos daftesam and Aleph Ichiv Achilas Pesach Wad Chatzos, Zos Dato Shel Rebelos Benazaria, O Achiv Ad Lolos Ashach, Zo Daitish of Rekiva, Yeshlomer Ad Machilto, Kerbelos Benazaria, Tosefta Kerbe Akiva. According to Chasdei David, the Mechilta that tells us the latest time is Chatzos is reflecting the sheet of Rebelos Benazaria, whereas the Tosefta that has it the entire night, that reflects the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, that the Pesach is Nechal the entire Laila. And the Chasdei David quotes the Rambam in Perek Zayim, Milchus Chometz U'Matzah, Mitzaseh Shel Torah, L'Saper Benisim Neflo Shenasu, L'Avosein Mitzrayim Belel, Chamisha Sar Benisan, implying throughout the night. Omnam, he writes, Bahatur, the Tur in Siman Tov Pei Aleph, quotes the Tosefta, Chayav Adam Lasik B'sa Pesach B'Tzisayim Kol HaLaila, but the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Pei Aleph, the Mechaber, writes, Chayav Adam Lasik B'sa Pesach B'Tzisayim Sab Benisim Toshas of Asenu Ad Shetechatfenu Shena, till he falls asleep. However, the Uvda, the Ram Gamliel's Kedim Shoy Mesuvim Beis Baitus, Belure Yoski Vilchaspes called Lilai Kurs Hagover. Afagavta Misubi Vichlu Vishasu Lochatfam Shena Klal Ad Kurs Hagever Misham Holchlu Beis HaMedrash. And that which it says in the Chasdei David on the Beis Yosef, he really is mechavein to that which it says in the Rosh in the last parak of Pesachim, also quoted by the Tur. And the teretz to reconcile the stira between the mechilta that reflects the shita of Elazar ben Azariah, as opposed to Tosefta representing and reflecting the shita of Rabbi Akiva, this is a little bit difficult because of the maisa that we have here in the Haggadah, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfet, Shemesapit, Yisrael, Lila. What's going on? Why is Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah involved in this Chabura reciting and telling of Yitzis Pesachim the entire night? After all, his Shita is, as reflected in the Chilta, Ad Chatzos. Perhaps we could say that Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah was machmir upon himself, Mishum Midas Chasidus. And the Mechilta is talking about Ikar Adin, and Ikar Adin you have to finish up by Chatzos. The Tosefta is talking about Midas Chasidus, which allows you to continue throughout the night. And if you take a look in the Or Cheskayim, in Seder Leil HaPesach, he writes, Ochlim Matzah Bachron, he's referring to the Afikoman, Kideshi Shor, Tam, Matzah Befiv, Lefisha Chayovim, Anu Lesapi, Tzisraim, Kol Al Laila, Al Kain Tzokshi, Shor, Tam, Matzah Befiv, Nire, Svaroso, Deafti Mikra Dinin Chayov, Ela Ad Chatzos, Mikomakomi Mitzvah, Drabonon, Lesapi, Kol Al Laila. We have the Doraisa of Sipur, which terminates with Chatzos, and the Rabbanon extended Sipur throughout the night. And that's why we need Sheishar Tamatz Befiv throughout the entire night. Vizuhi Midas Chasidus. Kol Amabra L'Sapa Reizim Eshubak is referring to this Midas Chasidus, that mid Rabbanon, he should be Misapa Kol Alayla, and he should be Tamatz Befiv Kol Alayla. And the Ibn Ezra in his Pirish on Leil Shimur Min Shmos Yud Beis Pasuk Mem Beis Shelo Yishano Rak Yodu V'Yisapu Gvurus Hashem B'Tzeis Mitzrayim U'Kfar Romzu Chachamenu Zal Higiyaz Man Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. Then again, if they fall asleep, that's one thing, but if they push themselves, they could be Mekayim this Midas Chasidus of reciting Yetzias Mitzrayim throughout the entire night up until Kriyat Zman Kriyat Shema Shel Shach. So again, I'm not sure here, honestly, in the language of the Sfirat Yesh, whether they're talking purely about Midas Chasidus, or we're talking about a Mitzvah Rabbanon. Maybe it's not a Chiyuv beyond Chatzos, it's a Kiyuv. But this concept of a Chiyuv Rabbanon in Mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which take us beyond Chatzos, is somewhat reminiscent of the sugya of Suma, a blind person, at the end of Pesachim, Kuf Tezayin Amid Beis, where the Gemara establishes that Rav Yosef, who was blind, nevertheless he read the Haggadah on behalf of others. And the Gemara establishes, Kasavi Rabbanon, Matzav Izman Azed Rabbanon. It would seem that, according to this opinion, again, midoraisa, sumas potamin mitzvahs, and therefore how could Rav Yosef recite that God on behalf of the others? He's not a bar chiyuva, because of sumas potamin mitzvahs. The answer is that although he's potamin midoraisa, he's chayev midrabbanon. And the mitzvah of matzah bizman is only drabbanon, meaning al matzah sumrom yochluhu, matzahs depend upon Pesach, and today it's drabbanon. And the chiyuv, therefore, of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, like the mitzvah of matzah, is only derabbanan. And even though the suma is potur midoraisa from the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, he's not included in bavur zeh. Nevertheless, he's chayv midrabbanan in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we also are chayv in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim midrabbanan, and that would justify why suma and how suma can be a bar chiyuva, to share the same chiyuv as everyone else, those who are able to see, with a chiyuv derabbanan. Again, this touches on the whole sugi of trei derabbanan, which we're not going to get into at all. But be that as it may, when the Tosefta establishes the mice of Rav Gamliel and the Zkenim Shai Mesubim, etc., they were involved in Hilchas HaPesach also Laila, that could be understood as a mitzvah derabbanan. That's the presentation here in a nutshell of the Sridei Eish. But as I keep mentioning over and over again, the Sridei Eish is a shifting back and forth, that's where they establish this Haggadah, based on his writings, between Halacha and Haggadah. And now we're going to slip back into the Haggadic mode. The Haggadah presents a machlokes as to whether or not the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim applies by day, just as it applies by night. According to one shita, which is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Ben Zoma, Leman Tizkar, etc., Kol Yimei Chayecha, is Kol Yimei Chayecha means both by day and by night. The Chachamim, on the other hand, say Yimei Chayecha Lamazeh, Kol Yimei Chayecha Lahavi Limos Hamashiach. So, what is the word Kol? That ribui, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, based on the elaboration of Ben Zoma, assumes that Kol is telling you that Yetzias Mitzrayim and that mitzvah Zechira applies by day and by night. The Chachamim, on the other hand, assume that the ribui of Kol is to teach you Yetzias Mitzrayim Bimos HaMashiach. V'nira, this is the inside of the Sridei Eish. Da'akoshi, the initial difficulty in understanding Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is Lahazkir Esgulas Mitzrayim. We are now, again, this is a drusha of the Sridei Eish, we are now today involved or experiencing, shall we say, Laila, Shibut, Golus. It's a long, dark Golus. And keep in mind, of course, that the Sridei Eish lived through that dark, dark period of the Shoah. And the question is, to remember Geulas Mitzrayim, even in the Golus, even in the darkness of night, to believe with complete, perfect faith in the Geulas Mitzrayim, the future Geulas Mitzrayim, that will come about at the end of days, it's very difficult to integrate that into our daily life, our Seder Yomi, as if now we are capable of praising Hashem and glorifying His name because of the Geula Asida. Chayev Adam Liros Esatzmo Kilu Hu Yatzim Mitzrayim. And that's the Chiddush of Ben Zoma Kol Yimei Chayecha, that the mitzvah of Zechiras Mitzrayim is not just by day, but it's also by night. It means that there's an entire system of day and night, of light and darkness. Tomorrow, there will be light, and even tonight we remember the light in the thick of night, of darkness and bleak despair, we remember the day. And this is the emuna, this is the faith, the powerful, immovable faith, the zchus emuna itana, that has accompanied the Jewish people throughout the bitter golos. When David HaMelech says, V'emunoscha balelos, even at night we have emuna, and at night we mention in the Birchas Kriyat Shema Lachrecha, the emuna that we have, the faith that we have in the brighter future of day. The pasuk describes, Yaakov Avinu Vayovo Yaakov Sholem. He was complete. He succeeded somehow to get through that very bitter, dark night that represents the golos, the darkness of Beis Lavan, and yet Vayovo Yaakov Sholem. And perhaps this is the deeper meaning of the statement of the Gemara in Chulin, Tzadi Aleph, on the pasuk in Bereishis Haaretz Asher Tashochev Oleha My Rabusa Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Melamed Shekipla Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lechol Eretz Yisrael Venicha Tachas Yaakov Avinu Shetei Nocha Lichabesh Likibush Lebanov. What does it mean? Yaakov represents, of course, the apex of the Avos, the culmination of the period of the Avos. And there's a recognition here that Yaakov slept in a place, but that place represents the entire land of our forefathers. All was folded up underneath Yaakov's head. This itself is meant to be a great message of optimism and faith to make it easier for the descendants of Yaakov, his children, to eventually come to back and conquer the land of Israel and settle it. The Hechsher, the preparation for this, was already established by Yaakov Avinu when he went to sleep. Ha'aretz asher ata shochev oleha. We must express and recognize our gratitude to our forefathers, because it's only in their merit that we are able to walk on this land, the same land that they walked upon. And again, leaving right now this obligation of recognition and gratitude on the side for a minute, there's something much more profound over here. We have to recognize that the Bonim, Shavim, those children who come back and return to the land, they oz v'omitz ruach. They are imbued with a fortitude, a strength of dedication, lizgaber, to overcome al kol mini kishlonos, all the difficulties, the barriers, akruchim b'nisayon kabir zeh, this great challenge of conquering the land and settling it. B'boha ivri lafoch ad maschol usloim, when the Hebrew, meaning the Israelite, comes to transform the land of sand, the land of rocks and stones, Nachle Bitzos, malaria-ridden swamps, to convert it into Eretz Poriah, a fruitful land, Mate Chemet, to plant their vines and so forth. How do we have this energy, this Oz V'Ometz? What is the source of that imbues the young people, especially the Jewish nation, with this ability to overcome all the tremendous challenges? It's the Hakara, it's the recognition, whether it's conscious or subconscious, Shal Nachlas Omos Raglov Dorchos, that he is trampling his feet or walking on the land that was inherited from, or by, shall we say, the forefathers. And in fact, our forefathers not only tasted the Tam of Gan Eden, of pleasure and glory and joy, but Einayim Gam Zolgu Mos, our forefathers cried, Dam V'Yazeahay Menaschel Kam, they spit blood, they sweat and toiled. And the fact that we are aware of the forefathers and what they went through, their tremendous sacrifice in order to inherit the land, mamtika et hamirut, that's meant to sweeten the bitter taste of the difficult challenges and battles that we face when we endeavor to conquer the land and settle it. The oso solenocha makes it a lot easier for the ben, for the son of such a great nation. He has a certain sense of enchantment. It is chavivus. It is beloved to him. And so, if we go back to Kalev, one of the original conquerors of the land, together with Yoshua, Chazal tell us in Sota that at the time that the scouts were sent to the land of Israel, at the time when Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar, Kalev, one of the 12 scouts, separated himself from the Atzas Meraglin, he went and he prostrated himself al Kivrei Avos on the at the burial ground of the Avos, the Maris HaMachpelah, and he said to them, Avosai, my forefathers, Bikshu alai rachvim she'notzel me'atzas meraglin, please pray on my behalf and induce divine compassion so that I would be spared from the Atzas Meraglin. He went back to the Avos. Says this Rideish, Ein ze kashe klal av zos b'yeni amon es avodas ha-binyon v'schadshus ha-koshe ha-doreshes karbonos ko-atsumim. It's so difficult to anticipate, to require, so to speak, that the Frankenfarl Jew would dedicate. He says, V'rak ha-koach ha-mistogi ha-bokev ole mi-kivrei avot. There's some sort of mystical power that, in a sense, rises from the burial place of the Avos. In other words, here's the challenge that Kalev faces on the brink of conquering Eretz Yisrael, a very difficult challenge, and yet he gains a certain power, a koach, a mystical power that arises from the Kivrei Avos. Shesholechet karnei oro, that somehow the very strong beams of light that emanate from the Avos overcome what we call the katnei amun of the meraglim, that limited sort of dwarfed sense of faith of the meraglim. We need a powerful sense of faith to overcome the meraglim, and this is something that reoccurs in every generation throughout Jewish history. Those banim bonim, those children who are able to build the land, have this additional power or energy force, the oz, the omets, the otzma, that they get from the avos. And all this has to happen even in the golos, even in the laila. We have a mitzvah of zechiras yitzis mitzrayim. We have to understand that if we can experience that or gadol, even in the darkness of Lila, of Golos, then will be Zoche, b'mehera v'yameinu amen, through Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, with that light of faith and optimism, to the ultimate light of the Geula. And he writes in such beautiful poetic language, he says, Hameir lonu b'panas, ikeshes leilas haofel, that flashlight that breaks through the thick darkness of night, to make it possible for the nefesh, for the Jewish soul, to overcome yeush, overcome chas shomeri despair, manik lechol yudi v'yudi sulam. It's the ladder of Yaakov Avinu. Remember that Yaakov Avinu ha'aretz asher ata shochev aleha lecha etnenu lezarecha. Every Jew is able to climb, ascend that ladder le'ocheh's bow, so that our connection between the night of Zechiras Mitzrayim and the mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, that strong beam of faith, that really owes a debt of gratitude. And we must recognize to the Avos what they were willing to sacrifice in their lives to overcome challenges in order to inherit the land. It's all a power and a koach that we are gaining from to this very day throughout all generations. And with this background in mind, we can begin to appreciate the Chachamim of Ben Zoma, who say that the word Kol Yemei Chayech is coming to include the Yemos HaMashiach. Meaning, even during the Yemos HaMashiach, we should be remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's an entire structure, almost a, I guess you'd call it a constellation, of interfacing between the Geula and the Golos, the Geula and the Golos, the Golos and the Geula. At first glance, we would have thought that when we achieve Yemos HaMashiach, the Mashiach will come, there's no need to mention Golos Mitzrayim and Geulas Mitzrayim. The miracles at the end of time will be so overwhelming, so great, that relatively speaking, the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim will be dwarfed. And the Tain of Ben Zoma in Masechta Brachos on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, Hine Yomim Boim Nu Mashem V'lo yomru od chai Hashem asher helas b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, based on a pasuk in Yirmiyah, kim chai Hashem asher helav v'asher hevi zera beis Yisrael me'eretz tzfonu mikol ha'aretzos asher yidachtem sham. There's no need to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim at the time of the ultimate Geula, because the miracles of Mitzrayim, relatively speaking, will be dwarfed, will be overshadowed. But nevertheless, the Chachamim did not accept that view. They saw a marocha, an entire constellation, a system, hashlama. There should be a completion, a complementary relationship between the Yitzias Mitzrayim of this world and the Yemos HaMashiach of the end of days. And that really parallels the perfection or the integration of Laila and Yom. On the one hand, at the time of Mashiach, we should be remembering where we came from. And that memory should never be ignored. We should never leave it behind, not even for a moment. And on the other side, the flip side, even in the darkness of this world, the Golos, we still have to experience the resurrection, the Tkuma, and the rebuilding of the people of Israel and the land of Israel. And there's a complementary, reciprocal hashpa from the future to the past, meaning the past meaning the present, and from the present to the future. Even in our daily lives, we are very much aware of the optimism and the faith, that dream, that vision for the future, but even in the future, we have to be aware of where we came from. And it's all part of one system in which Yom influences Laila and vice versa. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who lived through the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, was Mesakin Takanos, he established Takanos, not only that would be Zechel HaMikdash, like for example we take the Lulav of Kol Shiva Zechel HaMikdash, but also Mehera Yibane Beis HaMikdash, also Takanos as not only experiencing the past of the Beis HaMikdash, but also living as if it were in the future of Yibane Beis HaMikdash. Even now, we have to be preparing ourselves for the experience of the future. And therefore, the Gemara tells us in Gittin that in the encounter between Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and the Kesar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai requested Teili Yavne v'Chachamel. He understood that we were entering into a period of Shesisas Dam, of such destruction of the Jewish nation. But he also understood that B'meshach HaShonim, over the course of time, it may take millennium, but nevertheless, even after recognizing the fact that we are given that our nation is given to the control of Moshlim Arisim, of these terrible tyrants that are going to subjugate us, but nevertheless, there is something below the surface. There's a pnimius to the people of Israel, to the city of Jerusalem. And even now, when we are completely surrounded by our enemies, and the klei mashkis are upon us, we don't know peace today. And nevertheless, mitzad sheni, on the other side, ra'ah es hagos yom apkuta sheyamod ranan kimei ni'urav nachon lekras hagu'ula. There's an amazing paradox, if you will. Shnei k'suvim aboyim hamachishim zed zeh. He, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, understands that the Nesher Roma, the eagle of Rome, which is going to subjugate the entire world, and the legionos, the legions of their armies, will come from Rome to Eretz Yisrael to subjugate that small nation that has a desire to rebel against Rome. He, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, saw and recognized that no matter what Mesiris Nefesh we have, that you know, our The nation of Israel has an ability to sacrifice beyond any boundary, but it's not going to help on a Yom Evra, on a day of destruction. Even if Kol Bachurei Bnei Yisrael, even if all the youth of Israel will join together, Yilachmu, and they will battle, Ka'arayos, like lions, Lo Yatzlichu, they cannot succeed in overcoming Rome and establishing an independence. He saw and he recognized that the Jews have to extend their hand for peace, and if not, they will lose the entire structure of a nation, and that's on a political level or a military level. But not only that, at the end of the day, they will also forfeit the neshama of the people of the nation of Israel, the soul of the people. Limud Torah will completely go down the drain. It will be completely terminated. And therefore, that would, in effect, sign the seal of death for Zer Avram Chas V'Sholem, that we would be completely wiped off, Shmei HaShem. And therefore, he asked for Yavne v'chachameha. He understood that there was faith in this nation, that this nation does have the ability to carry the weight of these most difficult times and to prepare for Yom HaPkuda, to prepare for the Geula. Lo nistam olav ha-golel. You know, we haven't buried in any way, the faith of Israel and the future of the people. There will be a tkuma. There will be a resurgence of the people of Israel. There will be in the future binyan beis hamigdash, chidush avoda. But for that, we have to make takonos. We have to establish Yerushalayim to the extent that we can as a center of Torah study. We have to establish takanos in which we remember the past, the Beis HaMikdash, and we pray for its future rebuilding. Gam beregat seit nishmato ha-Torah hibil talmidav et emunato ha-gdola b'chidush ha-Mikdash v'adinim hatluim bo u'b'chidush Malchus Yisrael. The Gemara tells us in Brachos that at the time of his death, Rabbi Yochanan said to his Talmidim, who came to visit him, Pnu Kelim Mipnei Atuma, Hechinu Kisei L'chizkyo Melch Yehuda Sheba, prepare yourselves with great faith, fortify yourself with an Amuna Gedola, that there will be a Beis HaMikdash, that the laws of Tuma Vitara that reign supreme at the time of the Mikdash will eventually be reestablished and be implemented again. They'll be very much alive and well. There'll be a chidush of Malchus Yisrael, the kingship of Israel will be reinstated. This was the great faith of our giant forefather at the time of the Churban HaBayis, the Rabbi Yochanan of Teinli, Yavne v'chachameha, who understood that even at the moments of Shiflus were being subjugated by that great, powerful eagle of Rome, nevertheless, there's a memory, there's a reminder for the future. We can build, we can fortify ourselves with Emunah, with Torah. There's got to be the Zechiras, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Zechiras Agula, even in the thick of Lila. And this is what the Mishnah in Avos, at the end of the fifth parak, when it establishes that l'fum tzara agra, l'fi godel ha'omel sha'omel ha'odem ba'olam hazeh kach yiroa olam haba. If you want to get a glimpse of what the future is going to be like, judge and evaluate the present, how much in this world now today we're doing amelus and sacrifice. That's the nature of the kosher ha'miuchad shel klal Yisrael. We can see two worlds at the same time. In this world, with all its great amelus and tircha and challenge, the darkness of Lila and Golus, nevertheless, we can see, we have a glimpse, we have a vision of the future world of Olam Haba. In Elio Zuta, Kshahayu Yaakov Yesav Vimei Iman, when Yaakov and Esav were battling in the in the embryonic state, Chilku is Olam Beinei, they divided up the world between them. Esav took Olam Hazeh, Yaakov took Olam Haba. And at the face of it, this is difficult. According to Pshat, simple Pshat of the text, Yaakov received a chelek even in this world because he took the brachos. Ela, but rather, it's true that Yaakov will benefit and enjoy this world, but there's a fundamental difference in terms of the etzem ha'anah, the benefit itself. In the case of Esav, Esav gets his taste in this world. This material world is the beginning and the end, it's the ultimate, but not in the case of Yaakov Avinu. He's the ishtam. All his actions, all his thoughts are directed towards a different world, a beautiful world, an eternal world. He didn't feel that his chelik is here in this world. Whatever he tasted in this world, it was not an ultimate primary enjoyment. That's true for Esav, but not for Yaakov. Who here goes Cain? May ain't Tom Gan Eden. Whatever we enjoy in this world, it's really just a mirror image, a reflected image of the Tom, of the ultimate world of the eternity, a Tom of Olam Haba. And so too, the generations, the descendants of Yaakov Avinu, whenever they experience Tana in their worlds, in the language of the Sri Deish, Bechol Retet Shel Simcha, any movement of enjoyment, of joy, b'nishmasam, they sensed it in their souls. Nizkarim b'kivan amasim sheif shamayim, any experience of simcha reminds them to direct all their actions for shamayim, and their simcha, their joy becomes transformed into simchas tzadikim, to simcha of olam haba. This is what we inherited from Yaakov Avinu. That's the school of Klal Yisrael, to convert everything, the entire week, into a Shabbos, into a Me'ein Olam Haba. And this is what Chazal mean in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chafei Amid Beis, when the Gemara interprets the Pasuk in Echa, Vatiznak Shalom Nafshi Nisheisi Tova, Vatiznak Shalom Nafshi Om Rabavozu Hadlokas Ner Shabbos Nisheisi Tova Zu Beis HaMerchatz, Rabbi Yochanan Zu, Rechitzas Yadayim V'Raglayim B'Chamin, Rabbi Yitzhak Nafchomar, Zu Mita Noah, V'Kelim Noim, Shalel. We have experiences and periods of Jewish history of Ish, of Shivtenu, Ish Tachas Gafno, Ish Tachas Te'ena, in the land of the forefathers. Our lives then were free, not just in the political sense, but also free in the sense of existential freedom, of shlemus, of tmimus. There's no rithyon, there's no pikpuk, there's no kera between the sensual dimensions of man and the tzad ruchani of life. There's a total integration of chol and kodesh. That's the experience of ish tachas gafno, ish tachas ein teinoso be'eretz hakodesh, the Eretz Avos. With the religion of Israel, there was an integration into one entity, indivisible, of the shlemus of political freedom, of the ability, the potential to enjoy life with security, ish tachas gafno bet, at the same time to reach the fruition and the perfection of chayim ruchaniim, of spiritual life. Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. Both are natural to man, to the Jewish person. Eilu v'gam eilu novu mimakar nishmas Yisrael. The soul of Israel is a healthy, strong soul that integrates and combines the avodas hasodeh, the pleasures that derive from this physical world, and the hanah of avodas Hashem in an infinite sense. A Talmud Chacham gives himself over to the study of Torah, but he's not Poresh Menat Tzivur. He doesn't leave behind him and ignore the life of the nation. His Galsav is Gashma Biuma Yisraelis Toras Emes. The revelation and the realization of the neshama of this nation, of Israel, is what we call Torah's Emes. What is Torah's Emes? Torah's Ha'achdus. Achdus means the integration. Then on the one hand, we have this tremendous, powerful desire and craving to come close to Hashem. But on the other hand, we are part of life, and we're able to take this regesh of tshuka to Hashem and implant it and deepen our regesh achayim atzma. The regesh achayim is completely chadur ruach datiyut, is completely saturated with a powerful sense of the spirit of God, huvrar, and what we in our lives are able to clarify and to illustrate is that regesh adas, the religious motivation, the religious feeling and emotion, is a gili of the koch achayim, is really just an expression of that force of life, the ilan vital, b'tzura o'mema, on a very high, lofty level. The neshama of Klal Yisrael is, in its very nature, in its very essence, a religious neshama, and it serves as an expression to the koch achayim in the neshama. We don't believe in any separateness, in any alienation between datiyut and chiyuniyut, between the vital signs of life on this world, the expressions of the koach of chiyuniyut, and the expressions of the koach of craving for Hashem, of religious emotional intensity and profundity. There's no esnagdu zelazeh, there's no battleground over here. It's not that one enters into the, you know, trespasses into the land, into the territory of the other. However, all this is true when it's ishtachas gafno, ishtachas teino, when we live in peace, harmony, and security in the land of Israel. But miyom shegolini me'artzenu, let's appreciate what golus means when we get sent out of the land. V'nispazarenu b'chol ruchos olam, we're spread throughout the four corners of the earth. At that point, we have to understand that nifgima, there's a pagam, there's some sort of blemish, there's some sort of limitation of this hatama, of this perfect integration of the neshama of a Jew. There's going to be, unfortunately, some sort of schizophrenia, if you will, a separation in which the neshama and its religious elements gets alienated from the makar chayim, from the chiyuni, you know, that natural life force, the ilan vital that we spoke about. And the religious experience now is a whole different type of experience. This regesh dati says, chada linok mi regesh achayim. It no longer nourishes itself, this religious craving and this religious emotional power, from the power of life itself. Rak beregesh pachad amoves. Now it becomes a fear of death, and what's going to happen after death. It now becomes a fear of punishment. Paska mi Yisrael, what's cut off from the Jewish nation, is simcha shlema shemakora bitom hatama shebein hanefesh bein hachayim. That enjoyment, that pleasure, that joy of life that emanates from the perfection and the completion, the absolute hatama, the natural alignment, for lack of a better English word, between the nefesh, between the soul and chayim and the life force of man, that simcha is lost. Cheshkas hagolus, what is the darkness of diaspora all about? It's about this split in the Jewish personality between the nefesh of regesh das and the regesh of chayim. Cheshkas hagolus higdira kolponim v'chol lev v'af mishal amrod koshi ashibud baruchu Hashem bakol v'yesh sipu v'yod lehenos melom v'segam hu choshesh lasos v'tzeh v'yim osa yasenu liba mahaseis b'kirba v'choshev hu asatzmo l'chote. Even a person who's on such a high level in this state of shibud that he's able to thank Hashem, praise Hashem, and even enjoy some benefit to this world, yet he's suspicious of himself. He doesn't have that natural ability to enjoy the benefits of this world. When he does enjoy the benefits of the world, his heart is very inhibited about it, and inside he's feeling himself to be a sinner. The Talmud Chacham feels himself sholem with Torah and Yerushalayim, but when he sits in the Beis Medrash and he's wearing his talis and his tefillin, studying the Gemara, then he feels himself complete and perfect. But when he goes out to life and he enjoys the Hanas HaChaim, he senses that he's a different personality, a different identity. He's not the Talmud Chacham that he was in the Beis Medrash. That's the alienation. He feels immediately that he's descending. His nefesh is going down to a level to shiflus. And he feels very sad about the fact that there's a, in a sense, a sunset in his, figuratively speaking, in his nefesh, in his soul. There are very few yechidim, only the gedolei atzadikim in the generations of Golus, that merited feeling the Shechina, the Kedusha, the sanctity that rests upon every single action on the secular world, the mundane Chai Chol Shalem. That is something that is designated, singled out for the very, very few Yechidei Skula in any generation. And this very sad situation of the splintering, he calls it the Pilug, between of life into two areas, into two different territories, which is the phenomenon that represents Golus, this bitter Golus, this Pilug, which has, in a sense, negated from our lives the very natural nature of the Hilbisho Sam Sagfanut, so that has introduced a foreign element of what he calls sigufim. Sigufim means like a nazir who denies himself pleasure. This now becomes the new essence of the spirit of Israel. This pilug between the physical pleasures and the spiritual desires is what Chazal wanted to, in a sense, pass in front of our eyes. When they saw this pasuk in Eichav Atiznach Meshulam Nafshi, and this is a representative of the Ner Shel Shabbos, this is what's lost to us, the Ner Shel Shabbos, which is the ultimate symbol of simcha, of light in the Jewish home. That itself, the Shabbos, was transformed into Evyon, Nidkel Bein Molochim, to the poor, destitute person who's nidke. Nidke means he's really pushed down amongst the kings. That aura, that light, Pascha, Mibate Yisrael, has been extinguished from the Jewish home. And in place, it was replaced by Choshech, by Kidrut, by Galut, Nisheisi Tova, all those things that could improve our life on a daily basis, all of them ended, they terminated, they were voided. Lo shebatlu legamrei, chas v'sholom, it's not completely gone, but they no longer become they no longer serve as the beauty of the Talmud Chacham. They no longer nichnasim l'sidrei chayov. The Talmud Chacham itself feels that any hanah of olam hazeh, any hanah schol, is almost a chet, a sarach. And that phenomenon is a result of typical of the chaye golus, of what it means to live in the diaspora. And that's why we find a remez to this idea in Megillas Eicha. Our prayers are that we should be zocha in the very near future to chaye chol v'chaye kodesh, integration of both the secular mundane daily life experience and the experience of kodesh, of sanctity, to integrate Chai Olam HaZeh v'Chai Olam HaBa, to be like Yaakov Avinu, and then we'll become once again an indivisible element and a unity that is singular, that is unique on the face of the earth. I want to comment, which again, this is my own personal as a spectator, you know, learning the Sridi Yesh for the first time, there are many shiurim that we discussed and we analyzed the insights of Rav Kook in the Agadot and Brachos, many shiurim that we've given. I sense a certain similarity, and we're going to try to study the history of the Sridi Yesh and his life. But before we do so, the language that he uses, the concepts that he tries to convey, that total integration of Kodesh and Chol, are so typical of the ideas of Rav Kook. And we want to talk later on in Mirtz Hashem about that connection between the Sridi Yesh and Rav Kook. Again, his Hebrew is flowery. It's very complicated. I'm trying my best to present his ideas in English for an English-speaking audience. And that's difficult. But it's not quite as difficult as Rav Kook. It's a little bit closer to our... Because after all, the Sridi Yesh was the head of the seminar, the Beis Medrash in Germany. And he definitely had a language that was common to the people. I want to share with you a piece here on the Haggadah. Baruch HaMokom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenosan Torah Liyam Yisrael Baruch Hu. This is the introduction to the Keneged Arba Bonim Divra Torah. And we want to understand the connection between Baruch HaMokom and the Dalet Bonim. And he says that the fundamental principle, even before we get into it, he says, Terem anu boim lahavchin bein ben leben, until we begin to analyze each one of the four bonim and their unique personality, is lahavin, to understand the achdus of all the bonim, of all Bnei Yisrael. We have to begin with an introduction of tchushas ha'achdus ha'koleles, a sense of oneness, of unity, of all the different types. And then, and only then, after that introduction, can we get into the details that separate and the singular personalities of each individual ben. And this achdus is built on two principles. Number one, Baruch HaMokom, and number two, Baruch Shenosan Torah Li'amo Yisrael. Let's start with Baruch HaMokom. That is a remez El Mokom HaMikdash, to the place of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Mokom that we're talking about. And that's the Mokom in which the Jewish people gathered together from all corners. They became like one family as they entered into the Beis HaMikdash. It was the Sepizura, that little goat or sheep that was separated and spreading out throughout the land. And there was no greater force that was able to lilakeh, to unify the people of Israel and all the neshamas, as the Makom Mikdash. The Makom Mikdash represents HaKdusha Datit, the religious sanctified force. And no one could express how great of a force that is, to join together all the personalities of Israel, make them into one achdut, one kibbutz. Every neshama of every yachid has, of course, its own individual print, its own personality, miyuchedet. Ve'ef shalo l'shum davar shebon l'tashtei. So nothing is meant to mar or to take away in any way from this individuality. But the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, in the Holy City, was able to do unbelievable, amazing niflos, pile plaim, to create this actus of one nation that was predicated on the integration of all the spread out, you know, individuals of Klali. So the Beis HaBechir in Yerushalayim was the source for what he calls Chayim Meshutaf, for the living partnership, the communal life of the people of Israel. It was like the mother that links together all her children. Mimenu, from the Beis HaMikdash, Shavu V'yanku, that's where the people of Israel nourished, or were nourished by the powerful force of the Beis HaMikdash. this is the moledet, this is the birthplace, the home for the Jewish nation and its spirit without the Beis HaMikdash, where the soul of the people of Israel establishes deep, deep roots. The Jew feels himself as if he has no place, he has no location that he can call his own, and his birthplace is completely chashuch. Even if he's located within the physical geographic boundaries of the land of Israel, nevertheless, his natural feeling of amamut, of being part of a nation, that is only able to nourish itself and develop itself from the karka of the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash for Israel was like a mother. And into the Mikdash Niskabtsu, there was a collection of all the Jewish people that gathered together back to the mother. That is the situation of love. That is going to create brotherhood and kapara, ultimately atonement. And the Mar of the Beis HaMikdash, Paul Kitmunas Eim Poreshes Kapayim, the vision of the Beis HaMikdash is similar to that of a picture of a mother who sort of spreads her wings, calls her children to come back. Don't forget, you are all brothers, you're all part of one family. The Beis HaMikdash is a bayis, it's a home, but it also has the status of a heichal. Bayis means to overcome the loneliness of the Jewish soul. Every Jewish soul is a yachid, is an individual. He lives wherever he lives, but he's far from the Eretz Kodesh. Here in the Beis HaBechira, Niskansu Kol Yisrael Es Achdu LeBayis Echad, that's the bayis of the Jew. It is here where the Jewish heart, the heart of the Hebrew, pounds and knocks with chiyus, with life. This is the Mishkan, the Molei Or V'Chom. And then there's the concept of the Heichal. The Heichal means that even those who are far away from religious practice and observance, they didn't implement the Avodah, the Tefillah, they didn't bring Karbonos. Nevertheless, Hisgo b'bayzeh Heichal Tefara, they too had a sense of geus, of being proud of this house. It touched even the heart of those who weren't observant. That's the concept of Heichal Tifara, the beauty of and splendor of the palace. The Semel, this is a metaphor for the Gaon Yehudi v'Tifarto, the greatness of the Jew as a part of a nation. Chazal tell us in the Gemara Brachos that when the Jew and his brothers gather together in the synagogues, into the house studies, and they respond in unison, declaring Yeheshmei Rabbah, Mevorach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, nods his head figuratively, and he declares, Ashrei HaMelech Shemekalsin Oso Bebeso. Malo La'av Shehiglas Bino Oilem Lebonim Shegolim Yal Shulchan Aviyah. There are high and ultimate moments in which the Jewish neshama is awakened. The individual reminds himself to connect with his source, his roots, the Shoresh of Yisrael. For example, on Yom Kippurim, the Jewish people gather together in the houses of worship, and they show up on the night of Yom Kippurim, Kol Nidre night, with Tfilos Yisrael, with the ancient prayers of Israel. And they sing the songs. At the moment of Kol Nidre, the neshama, the soul and the spirit of the Jewish people, mizdazas, it shakes from an awesomeness and sort of throws off the cover, the masveh, which is the mask of sheker, completely chucks it off. And once again, the neshama aligns itself with itself, finds itself. The regesh, that deep feeling of a Jew, is one in which he returns home. to the home of his forefathers. And there's a kibbutz, there's a collection of brothers that came back to their father in heaven. And from the depths of their heart, they cry out, Amen Yeheshme Rabbah. This is the language, this is the declaration that's common to all the Jews and includes all of them. And there's nothing greater than this, than the B'niyah HaDadit Ben Ish Yisrael Ben Achiv, collective partnership, a mutual understanding of one Jew and his brother. There's a language that's common that reflects the lave, the heart, the emotions of all Jews. All of Achenu B'nei Yisrael have forgotten, perhaps during the rest of the year, their Safa Yisraelit, their Hebrew tongue, but with words of unity that are somehow left perhaps deep below the surface. They gather together on Yom HaKippurim to recite Amen Yeheshmei Rabbah in the synagogues of Israel. This is the Kriyas Bracious, the Kriya, the earliest Kriya that is natural and embedded in the nature of a Jewish soul. And that's Baruch HaMakom, the Beis HaMedrash, the Beis HaKnesses. And then there's Baruch Shenosan Torah Li'amo Yisrael. This is the second foundation for unifying all the different parts and segments of the people of Israel. That's Matan Torah. Vayichan Shom Yisrael Keneged Ahar. And Chazal say Vayichan Beloshon Yochid is Ki'ish Echad Uvelev Echad. They all felt together that they're part of one entity. And at the same time, each individual accepted upon himself his portion, his unique individual portion, HaMiyuchad Lo B'Torah, Chelko HaMiyuchad Lo B'Torah. So we have both elements here. We have the elements of togetherness, of unity, and we have the elements of the singular individual nature of every person. All this took place at our Sinai. And all of this represents what we call the Beis HaMikdash, or the Beis HaKnesses throughout history, gathering together with a gravitational pull all of the Chelke on the different segments of the Jewish people that are spread throughout. And we're ready for Keneged Arba'a Banim Dibra Torah, the Sod Kiyum HaUma, the secret of the existence of this nation. It lies in the Havana Sod Achdus HaUma, V'ima darko shal ayichud shal kolecha v'echad. Together with the Baruch HaMakom, we have the Arba Bonin. Together with the Sod and the foundation, as we discussed before, of the unity of the nation, we have the way, the method, the personality of every individual as a Yochid, Keneged Arba Bonim Dibra Torah. And the multiplicity of and complexity of Klal Yisrael, made up of so many individuals, each one who expresses their own nitiyah, their own tendency, that creates the beauty of the tzibur. The nature of the individual is what affects, what impacts on the yachdav, the collection of the Jewish people. So it's individuals, but they become one. That's the kibbutz of many individuals. And what this is the really the reflection of the magnetic, so to speak, different extremes, but they all have magnetic force that leads them or draws them to the exact opposite, but all together at one time. They all, on the one hand, want and desire yichud. Yichud means their individuality, but at the same time, ichud, their unity. That's the complexity, that's the dialectic here, that the Sri Deish emphasis is here. Is Chusho HaTziburi Shal Yudhi Chosek Me'od. There's a tremendous power within the Jew of his sense of the collective whole. That's very powerful. He cannot separate himself from the neshama of the collective entity, the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. And if he's ripped off, so to speak, from that life force of the tzibur, that is going to completely represent his death, so to speak. But at the same time, at the same moment, he is interested, he's mavakesh, he desires his own individuality. He wants to express his own individuality. He gives an example here of 10 Jews that get together in a shul. They're all together. And let's assume, for argument's sake, that the Gedolei HaYadus min HaDoros Rishonim, representative there are Tanoim and Amoraim from the earlier generations. Let's assume they're representatives of the medieval people. Maybe the Rambam is there, Rabbeinu Yehuda Levi. There are representatives of the later generation, the Baal Shem Tov, the Gra, and Rabbi Sol Salanter, Rav Hirsch. And a child who just became bar mitzvah. The person who observes this gathering will be overwhelmed, will be flabbergasted, because look at the picture in front of him. Dore doros, he sees generations. He sees Seotu Miflagot Shonot, representatives of different movements in the history of Klal Yisrael, Shitot, different ideologies that lechor at the face of it, Meruchako Zumizu, one far away from the other, different age brackets and so forth. Akula Mispalim Bioso Seder, they're all davening from the same Seder. This is the connecting force of the Beis HaKnesses. And I'd like to tell a story from my early days, my memoirs of Yeshiva and Slabodka. Everyone got received his chilek, the pashaya, hatzadik mi birazal, mi asef, bebote nedive kovna, machalkim, lebnei yeshiva. There was a tzadik in the city of Slabodka, and he would collect money from the rich people in. Again, Slabodka was part of Kovna, in the city of Kovna, and he would divide it up amongst the yeshiva students. And it was enough money to afford shtei litros lechem liyom, you know, 2 loaves of bread for a day. V'af hasaba b'chvod v'atzmo hitparneis mipas kibor zeh, shekibor matzadik ha-birzoni. Even the altar of Slabodka, the Mashgiach of the yeshiva, he too would support himself based on the monies collected by this tzaddik mibiraz. And kechelek shenita liyechad meyeshiva, he was like one of the other members of the yeshiva that received his portion. And there is a principle in halacha ein bodkim lemezonos. In other words, we don't make a distinction between one Jew and another when it comes to basic support. So the fact that a person is a Talmud Chacham doesn't mean that therefore he should get a greater share. Everybody got the lechem chukah b'midah shava. But nevertheless, his chalshu b'yeshiva, his lachashu, excuse me, b'yeshiva, shatzadik ha-birzoni, There was a rumor that was being whispered that this tzaddik who divvied up, you know, the funds that he had would differentiate between one yeshiva bach and another. Bechirim, the choice people, he would bring to their rooms, I guess their dorm rooms, a better portion. And perhaps it wasn't a larger portion in terms of its weight, you know, it wasn't a larger piece of bread. El betam ubetuf. Maybe it was of better quality. There were those who came to complain and protest in front of the altar. Why would there be a priority, a superior portion that was given to certain students in the yeshiva on the expense of the other students who weren't on that level? They weren't the greatest. And there were those who would cry out, Kol b'nei yeshiva kedoshim, like Korach would cry out to kol ha'eda kula kedoshim, all the bachurim in the yeshiva are sanctified. And then the altar from Slabodka would show them his portion that he received, and he would ask them, is my portion better than theirs? It's true. Nachon, ani lahachlif es menas b'manaschem. Aval efshar hosef hasaba shebemikrem is damein achilek hatov liechad v'lo l'shcheino. He says it could be that although everyone is meant to receive the same portion, but it's possible that on certain occasions it turns out, kaviyochel by sheer coincidence, mizdamein achilek hatov liechad v'lo l'shcheino, that, you know, someone's going to get the better portion. The Efsha Shane said Mikra, maybe it's not coincidental. Elabashgacha Shal Yoshev Bimorom, maybe it's the intervention of God in heaven. Shenemar Korah Hashem L'chol Korov, Ein Kriyuzul Arina Shal Torah, that those who are so steeped in Torah learning will receive a better portion. That's part of the Ashgacha of the Yoshev Morom. Eini Hashem, Tzofiel Sal Mishem Memes Atzma V'alol Shal Torah, Hashem sees those who are really sacrificing, they're pushing and killing themselves in the tent of Torah, for Rachmav Olav, and he has divine compassion on them. Karachmeya Aim, imagine the situation of a mother. Hachalekas, she gives out portions to her children. Vichalekas Mani Yofel Ibnah Chaviv Labioser. Inadvertently, she gives out the best portion to that child that is most beloved to her. And therefore Hashem, giving out these portions, gives out the portion that's most beloved to him, that's the most superior quality to the one who's most beloved. Habachurim, the students of the yeshiva, says the Sri Yeh, Sheshomu dvarim eil yotzim v'pi asavak, shem ne'amorim bi'avu barachmim gedolim, u'besmichas yodo al shichmam, hitrashmu mi'od v'shachu sivlas harov u'machzor. When the students in the yeshiva heard these words coming out of the mouth of the Altav Slobodka with such great love and such great compassion, and we would place his arm on their shoulder, they were so impressed by it that they forgot the sevel and the suffering of the hunger and the lack of food in the yeshiva. Rabosa, I know it's late, so we'll have to take a break. I'm only hoping that we'll get a chance to continue and enjoy some of the insights, both in Aloch and Agadah, to the stories of the Sri Yesh. And Hashem should be mezaka us in that great mitzvah.